Nancy, when I was in college back in 2000, I used to take a drive down from Boston to Philadelphia to watch this guy because the atmosphere was just electric down there when he was on the basketball court. I'm talking about the 2001 MVP. I'm talking about the former Sixer. I'm talking about the future Hall of Famer. Talking about Allen Iverson. And now, listen, now you got excitement again here. It's just not watching him in Philadelphia on the basketball court. We got this documentary that's coming out entitled Iverson, which is going to be shown at the Tribeca Film Festival on April 27th at 9:30 Eastern time. So we're all looking forward to that as well. Alan, it's Justin Termini and Nancy Lieberman. Thanks for giving us a couple of minutes. How are you?
Hey, I'm great.
Good. Good to hear, buddy. And tell us a little bit about this film, because we're excited. I hear it's sold out, so I want to still try and get in somehow, though. I don't know if I'm going to scalp a ticket or something.
Hey, you know I'll get you in.
No, say no. Say no.
You know I'm getting Nancy in.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Nancy gets in, but I mean, tell us a little bit about the film. Why do we want to get in so badly? What makes this film so special?
I mean, it's... I think what makes it special is just it being authentic. Some of the things that basically you don't hear about or you don't see, and the things that, you know, us as athletes or as human beings, period, you know, have to go through to make it to where they're trying to go. You know what I mean? And the obstacles that it takes to survive, to you know, to make it, you know, out of a bad situation. It's everything, you know. It has its ups and its downs, you know. I know my mom and my family, you know, the first time they watched it, you know, sometimes they're crying, and then sometimes, you know, they're laughing. So, you know, it has everything in it, and it definitely will make my fans see me in another way, in a way that, you know, that they never thought. You know what I mean? So that's what I think makes it so great and authentic.
So, Alan, will they go back to when you were growing up in Hampton, and, you know, like when I was at, you know, ODU
and Newport News?
Newport News, okay. But when I was at Old Dominion and I was just leaving there, and then watching your career, will they take you back to the beginning of how you started playing, your relationships with people, how you ended up getting to Coach Thompson at Georgetown? Take us back. Like, where will this thing originate?
Nancy, it's coming from, straight from the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, it starts, you know, this whole thing goes all the way to elementary and middle school, and, you know what I mean, everything. It's the whole journey, you know. It's basically the whole journey and everything that I went through and had to overcome to accomplish what I wanted to do in life, and that was to be a professional athlete. So it's everything, you know. It's the whole ride, you know what I mean. It's the ups and the downs. It's everything, you know what I mean? Like I told you, it's emotional at times. It's a lot of happy moments, obviously, because, you know, once you accomplish something after having to go through everything you had to go through to get there, then obviously, you know, it's those happy times. But, you know, it's the dark moments too. You know what I mean? It's everything that goes on. And Allen Iverson, you know, in his life, you know, and it's not from the media's point of view, you know what I mean? It's coming straight from me, my family, and, you know, the people that documented the whole thing is raw and uncut.
And you're going to get an opportunity here in the film, and again, it's coming out in the Tribeca Film Festival on April 27th, 9:30 Eastern time. You get an opportunity to see it, so you get an opportunity to tell your story. And what's the message you want to send with your story? How do you want people to remember Allen Iverson, the guy, and the guy on the court as well?
That's the greatest part of giving this to the world is not a message. It's a story. It's when you become a cultural icon, when you become this conglomerate, massive person, you know, in the whole world. You're known everywhere across the world. Everybody thinks that, you know, when you tell a story, it has to be, you know, a certain message. It's not, you know what I mean? It's the only thing, and I don't look at it like it's entertainment or anything like that. It's just a story of a young black man from the inner city that made it out and what he had to go through and what he had to overcome to try to be successful in life. And then once you become successful in life, and when you think, you know, or the world thinks everything, you have everything that you ever would want, it keeps going on. The struggle keeps going on. The fight still keeps going on. It's just a different round. You know what I mean? And that's it. It's not no true message. I don't want nobody to look at me in a certain way after it, or you know, as a good guy or a bad guy. It is what it is. And I just want people to enjoy it for it just being a story. You know, it's just like watching TV and you watch a great movie. That don't mean you look at who would I say, Brad Pitt, as a certain kind of person because, you know, you thought the movie was great or you thought the movie was bad. You know, it was just some entertainment, something you watched and enjoyed. That's it.
Hey, Alan, do you ever feel like for what you've done on the basketball court, sometimes it overshadowed people understanding who you were as a man and those difficulties? Do you think that those lines get blurred with fans and media?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, when you accomplish the things that I've accomplished and doing things the way I wanted to do it, you know, everybody's not going to agree with everything that you do. You know, you hear different stories and everything is out there and people get a chance to judge you besides what you did. You know, when you accomplish the things that I've accomplished on the basketball court, then it gets deeper. Now they want to get into personal life and, you know, and things of that nature. You know, all I ever wanted to do was obviously take care of my family and play the game that I love. But, you know, when you're that person and you affect so many lives, especially children, you know, you get judged, you get scrutinized. I mean, and it comes with the territory, and I signed up for it. You know what I mean? So I don't complain about it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'll always remember my grandma told me, I asked her before, you know, Nan, why are these things happening to me? If God know, you know, this is not the way it is, why is it happening to me? And she told me, never question God. And from then on, I never did. You know what I mean? So I don't question what God put me through in my life, you know, so I just let it roll off, you know. Do it hurt sometimes? And when I hear certain things, yes, I mean, I'm human. You know what I mean? I bleed just like everybody else. You know, I got feelings just like everybody else. But that comes with the territory. That comes with being successful in life. I mean, it just comes.
We're talking here with Allen Iverson, 2001 MVP, of course, future Hall of Famer, and apparently a big Brad Pitt fan here as well, Allen. Listen, when I think of that moment, that iconic moment for you, I think of that MJ crossover, I think of you and Vince going back and forth in 2001, and you're dropping 50 points on the Raptors. I think of 2001 when you hit that corner three against the Lakers there in the NBA Finals. When people like come up to you on the street and they want to talk about something you did on the court, what's that thing that pops up the most that you did that just sticks out in the fans' mind?
Mike, I mean, that's a no-brainer, you know, the crossover on Mike. But because, I mean, that just lets you know how great of a player he was. I mean, he was the best to ever do it. You know, I mean, you had these arguments out here all the time about who's the greatest basketball player ever played a game. I don't even know why people even have the argument. I don't even know why it's even a debate. You know what I mean? Like, it's always going to be him, regardless. I mean, you're going to have your Kobe Bryant, and you're going to have your LeBrons, and you're going to have your Kevin Durant. And those guys are superheroes, man. They are great for our generation. You know what I mean? And for this generation right here. You know what I mean? But, I mean, Mike, I mean, I just remember the first time looking at him, and he didn't even look human to me. I saw his aura. Like, I couldn't believe I was actually standing that close to him. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that moment right there, the fans always talk about, you know, me crossing him up. And the craziest thing about the situation is when I did it, the greatness of him, he still almost blocked the shot. that was the crazy part about it. Like, looking at it on tape, I'm like, man, I hit him with my best move, and I got him way off of it. And he still almost blocked it.
You talk any trash to him over that?
No, man. I respect my elders. Trust me. And I respect my legends.
Alan, let me ask you a question. As you start getting a little closer to this Hall of Fame, do you get a chance to let yourself get a glimpse of some of the great players of the NBA that you admire, and then to think one day, oh my goodness, this is going to be me?
It's so surreal, like, you know, just thinking about it and hearing about it, you know what I mean? Like, when everybody talks about it and everybody say I'm first ballot and this, that, and the third, you know, I really don't think about it until somebody mentions it. But just being a part of just a class like that, you know what I mean? Just says everything about, you know, who my family is, and, you know, my teammates and the coaches that I play for, who they are. You know what I mean? It's basically a salute to them, because, you know, without those people, I wouldn't have been able to be even mentioned in a class like that. You know what I mean? So I, you know, all the glory goes to everybody that helped me get in there. Yeah, I put in the work, and when people really don't understand, I really did actually practice. But everything that I put in, you know, it's just, oh man, it's just a great feeling just to know that, you know, all of the hard work paid off. You know what I mean? And I'm just so grateful that I even have the opportunity and, you know, had a chance to even be a Hall of Famer. So I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, I'll be basically in a class with, you know, my favorite. You know what I mean? My hero, and that was Michael Jordan. Like, I'll be in the Hall of Fame with him. You know what I mean? That says a lot about him, because he inspired me and he made me want to play basketball. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have never wanted to play basketball. So, I don't know. I mean, it'll be a whole bunch of emotions, and, you know, I hope I don't get up there and act like no sissy and be crying and all that whole stuff. But we'll see.
We're looking forward to it. An honor you already have is you're up in the rafters there down in Philadelphia, and people often say that it was just the perfect relationship between a player and a city, and that it was just a perfect fit for you. Talk about that relationship with Philadelphia that you have, and what that meant to you, and what that night was like when you got the number raised.
That situation, I think, is like no other. You know, my relationship with the fans there, I think is none bigger than anything in sports. You know what I mean? You know, they love me, obviously, and I love them back. You know, they gave me even more energy than I ever had, you know what I mean, going into games. It was easy to lay everything on the line for those people, you know what I mean, because, you know, they supported us. They supported me. And it was just electric, you know what I mean? Every night, you know, it was never a dull night. You know, I came in there and played every game like it was my last. And they came in there and they cheered and supported our team, you know, like no other team. And that night, you know, all I was thinking about that night is, you know, don't get up here and get too emotional, you know. And it was something that I'll cherish and, you know, remember for the rest of my life. You know, it was a great experience for me. And it made me feel, you know, so good because, you know, Tawana was there. You know, my kids were there. And, I had my 5-year-old, my 8-year-old. Daughters there, and they really didn't, like my other two older kids, they really didn't, and my 10-year-old, for that matter, they really didn't get to experience it, you know, like my older kids, you know, like my 16-year-old and my 19-year-old, they didn't get to experience it like that. And then just to see their faces when the people reacted the way they reacted, you know, it was the best, man. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. It was right up there with being drafted. You know what I mean? So it was a great feeling for me.
What was it like to play for Larry Brown? You know, he's here in Dallas at SMU, and he just thinks the world of you. How did you feel Larry helped you in your game?
He took me from being a great talent to a great basketball player, a great, and giving me a great basketball mind. You know what I mean? Like, he taught me things that I could do with my athletic ability, but he slowed me down and helped me think the game. It's basically like having all the athletic ability in the world and then trying to create a John Stockton mind. You know what I mean? Like, I knew how to basically think the game instead of trying to just do it off my athletic ability night in and night out. You know what I mean? And he just taught me things. I mean, he just elevated me. He took me from basically just a great talent, like I said, to the MVP, the best player in the whole world. And I didn't understand when I was so young and arrogant at times, bullheaded at times, that, you know, I didn't understand where he was coming from. Every time he tried to tell me something, I took it as criticism, when all along it was constructive criticism, because he wanted the best for me and our team. And once I fed in to doing everything, and he would say playing the right way, that's when I elevated. That's when it took my game to a whole other level. That's when it took me to all-star status and first team all-NBA and scoring titles and things like that. You know, he was just a blessing for me in my career. And I wouldn't be the player that I was if it wasn't for him. They wouldn't be talking about Hall of Fame or anything like that if it wasn't for Larry Brown.
And Alan, last one, we'll let you get going here, and appreciate the time. And again, you can catch the documentary, Iverson, Tribeca Film Festival. That's on Sunday, April 27th. And listen, I'm following you on Twitter, and I see a tweet pop up not too long about your buddy Kevin Ollie, and he ends up winning a championship down there at UConn, and you played with him in Philadelphia. And you, as a Georgetown guy, actually had to root for UConn because you're rooting for him. How difficult was that? And there's a lot of talk that he could become an NBA head coach here coming up. What type of coach do you think he would make?
A great one. And that was the most it's ironic that you bring that up, because that was the most awkward situation basically that I might have ever been in my life. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, on the edge of my seat because I'm rooting for UConn. Like, I hated these guys. You know what I mean? Like, we couldn't stand UConn. I mean, I couldn't stand Kevin Ollie when I played against him, because he was so tough, he was so gritty, he was so hard, you know, he was so passionate. And, you know, playing with him and getting to know him and getting to love him and have a, you know, relationship that I have with his wife and his kid, you know what I mean? It was just, it was just incredible. And it was really hard, you know, because I wanted him to win so bad. You know what I mean? I would have been so hurt if he didn't get it done. And then once he finally did, you know, I just kept sending him texts and, you know, telling him how much I loved him and it couldn't happen to a better person. And, you know, it was just a great feeling. And I think he should stay right there at UConn. I mean, they got a gem. You know what I mean? And they should love it and cherish it and hold on to it.
Alan, really appreciate the time, buddy. And again, it's Iverson, the documentary, Tribeca Film Festival. It's Sunday, April 27th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. AI's going to get me in. You going to pick me up, too? What time should I be ready?
Now, I don't know about that, but you said you wanted to come. And you know I'm going to make sure you get in there. So you're going to hear about it if you don't come.
Oh, no. All right, now I'm definitely coming. Alan, really appreciate the time. It's great to hear that you're doing well.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate y'all.